I want you to take your copy of the Bible. And aren't you glad that we have a copy of God's Word? And I want you to turn with me right now to Psalm 18, all right? I want to say I hear those pages turning, but that would not be true, all right? So I'm envisioning those pages turning right now. And we're going to turn to one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And we're going to learn tonight some truth that I think is going to be exactly what we need. And so sometimes I'll say, I hear those pages turning. A lot of times I'll say, let's all stand, right? So I don't think we're going to say that tonight. You can stay comfortable wherever you are, but I want you to give attention as if you were standing to God's Word. And I want you to read with me Psalm 18. And if you'd like to read it out loud, fine. If you want to listen to me read it. But I want to speak to you tonight from Psalm 18 on this subject, our reliable hope, the reliable hope that we have in God. Psalm 18, verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Let's pray. Father, bless your word to our hearts. Give us illumination and understanding. I pray for the boys and girls that are listening and watching now. Help them to have attentiveness for moms and dads and for all of our single adults. And whoever is listening tonight and watching this broadcast, may hearts be stirred, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Never before in our country have we experienced what we are experiencing now. Truly, it is akin to a time of war. There is great apprehension, news every day that is something like a movie, perhaps, a bad movie, something that we were not expecting. And yet I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And while we're surprised with the daily news and concerned, nevertheless, we serve a God that is reliable and trustworthy during these days. One of my favorite verses is found in Psalm 56 in verse 3. David said, "At what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Church family, tonight, it's not a sin when we have fear. It's only a sin when we fail to trust. Fear is a natural response to the unknown. But David said, when I feel that fear coming in, I'm going to let faith cancel it out. I'm going to trust in God during this time. And I'm thankful that we have a trustworthy God. Now I want to speak to you tonight about the reliability of our Savior. If you'd like to take notes, you're going to find the outline on the screen tonight. You're welcome to follow along that way if you like. I want you to think with me, first of all, about the fact that we have a Savior who has a provision that is reliable, that our God has provided for us certain provisions, assets, and blessings that are completely trustworthy and reliable. There is an eternal guarantee with the provision of God. Now I think about the song that we sometimes sing, "Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee." He is truly a faithful God. Lamentation 3 and 22 tells us, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And I'm thankful that even with all of the news and concern that is upon us, still, this morning I saw a beautiful sunrise. I saw the snow up on Mount Baldy one way, and on top of the Tehachapi Mountains another way. And I was reminded that I serve a great and a mighty God. I'm thankful today that his presence is faithful and reliable. The presence of God. Oh, I remember when I was saved April the 5th, 1972, and I'm thankful that the Spirit of God took up residence in my life and that He indwells with me and that He's so faithful. Even when our hearts and lives are not thankful, He is faithful. He abides with us and He protects us. The Bible says here in Psalm 18, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. And I want you to be reminded that He's with you today. And I think of the verse that tells us that we'll not be tempted above that which we are able. I think of the phrase that I heard many years ago, all of the fiery trials are Father filtered. Nothing's going to come into our lives at this season that is not known of God or even allowed of God, but that He will be with us through all of it. Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Now think of that phrase, a very present help. God's not the God that simply helped D.L. Moody back in the 1800s. He's not merely the God that is going to help someday the people that are restored unto Him at the rapture, but He is our very present help now, today, in time of trouble. He is with you, and He is for you. In fact, when Jesus gave His great commission to the church, you remember Matthew 28, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But do you remember that phrase where He said, and lo, I am with you always, right? Teaching them whatsoever things I've commanded you, and lo, He said, I am with you always. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Jesus has great regard for our human needs. It is the heart of God that our needs would be met and that His presence would be known. You know, I think about our children and our grandchildren, and I've tried to touch base with them from time to time as I hear news about what's going on and to tell them, be careful. And of course, I've been saying for weeks to the kids and really for years, wash your hands, wash your hands. And the other day, our granddaughter, McKenna, she was instructed by Christine. Christine said, McKenna, you've got to really wash your hands. And when you wash your hands, wash it. And why don't you sing Happy Birthday to You? And don't stop washing your hands till you finish that song. And so the other day, Kenna was washing her hands and she was singing Happy Birthday to You. And she looked over at her sister Delaney and she said, whose birthday is it anyways, right? And so, you know, it may not be your birthday, but be sure to wash your hands long enough. We've been telling our kids that. We've been telling them to take care of themselves and to cover their mouth. And we've been going through all of these different types of warnings. Why do we do this? Because we love our children. We love our grandchildren, and we want to be there for them if they're worried or if they have questions. But as much as you love your children and your family, there is a God in heaven who loves you intimately more and with an extravagant love. It is His desire that you would know that He is with you and that He is for you. His presence abides with us. May I say, secondly, His provision sustains us. His provision sustains us. Listen to Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I want to remind you that there is a faithful God in heaven who is going to meet our need. Now, I'm thankful for those that are our elected officials, our president, our Congress. They're working to provide stimulus package and helps for our country. And that's a blessing. But our hope is not found in the government. Our hope is not found in the corporate world. Our hope is found in the Lord Himself. I think about our second Sunday here when I came to this church of about 20 people. And that second Sunday night as we went out to eat, and Terry reminded me that we had no money for the meal, and God provided miraculously for us to have dinner that night. But I remember so clearly on the way home as we talked about the fact that we had come here by faith, and now we were out of groceries. We were literally out of money. And Terry was wondering how we were going to provide breakfast for the children that second Monday morning here. I will never forget that 7 o'clock in the morning, knocking on our door. And Rick and Kathy Houck, who were pastoring that time in Brawley, California, they drove all the way up through much of the night with a station wagon full of groceries. And they said, Brother Chapel, last night you got onto our hearts and we were burdened for you. And the Lord told us that we need to come and provide this for you. I will never forget that day as long as I live. God met our need. And I want you to know that God sees you, He knows your address, and that He will sustain us. Psalm 65 and 9, Thou visited the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when Thou hast so provided for it. You see, God will provide for our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. His presence goes with us and His provision is with us tonight. Let me say thirdly, His perception or His wisdom will be with you. God wants to give us the wisdom. And I know that I often quote James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Now, we need wisdom today. We need wisdom to know even how to go about our daily duties and responsibilities. And I think you have made a wise choice to open a Bible and to hear tonight from the Word of God. And we need to make wise choices during this time. And God says, if you'll ask me, I'll guide you. And I believe that applies to every aspect of life. It applies to purchases. It applies to friendships. It applies to major decisions. God wants to give us wisdom. He calls us to ask Him for that wisdom. James 3:17 refers to it as the wisdom that is from above, which is pure and peaceable. And God says, I'm easy to be entreated. I want you to come to me. So we have a reliable God tonight. And He is reliable in His provision. He will provide wisdom. He will provide materially. He will provide for His people. But let's now look beyond His provision. Let me say secondly tonight, His promises are reliable. When you read something in this Bible, and God gives you a promise, then it is a reliable promise. Adoniram Judson was the great missionary to Burma. And as I've told you before, he labored for 7 years without one soul. He was imprisoned. His wife passed away. Trauma, difficulty, and sorrow was his lot for 7 years. But he kept trusting God. And Judson once said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Now, we can approach this current situation as dire straits, the end of the world, or we can recognize that the future is as bright as the promises of God. And by the way, if this is the end of the world, that means we're very close to hearing the trumpet sound and seeing Jesus Christ face to face, and that ought not to cause gloom or dread in our hearts thinking of seeing the Lord. But let me tell you that God has promises for us that are reliable. Now, I see those promises in several areas. Let me mention a few. First of all, I think of the names of God. His names provide promises for us. The promise that He gives to us and His attributes are seen so clearly here. Let me mention a few things. I think about the promise of His strength. I think about the fact that the name of Jesus, the name of Christ, the Anointed One, reminds us that He has conquered death and the grave. And that's why we say from Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I want you to say that with me, boys and girls, moms and dads. Let's just say this wonderful verse, Philippians 4:13, ready, begin. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, some of you didn't say it just then. I can just tell. Some of you are eating your Cheerios and you're not paying attention. So let's say the verse together, okay? Everybody now, ready, begin. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And the word Christ means the Anointed One. It reminds us that He is the Messiah, the resurrected one, and through Him and His power, we can do all things. And so what a wonderful, wonderful name, the name of Christ. We can do all things through Him. Now, one lady said, my therapist told me the way to achieve inner peace is to finish what I start. And so far today, I've finished 2 bags of chips and 4 cupcakes. Now, folks, we can get through our stress with eating, or we can get through our stress with trusting, but I want to challenge you to trust in the reliable name of God. The promise of strength is yours. The promise of His greatness is yours. Ye are of God, He said in 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we see His strength and His greatness, and we're reminded also of His care for us. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. What a tremendous, tremendous blessing that is. I read the story recently of a little boy that was eagerly looking forward to going to a birthday party at a friend's house not far away. When the day of the birthday finally arrived, an amazing storm came upon the city, and inch by inch, the snow was piling up and piling up, and the young boy's father sensed the danger of that, and he hesitated really to even let his son go. In fact, he said, "Son, I don't want you to even walk that far to go to a birthday party." And of course, the little boy said, but dad, all the other kids are going, and I want to go. And finally, the father, after thinking about it for a moment, he said, "All right, son," he said, I'm gonna let you go." And so the young boy began his journey, and he plunged along through that raging storm, and deeper and deeper the snow got, and soon he was having trouble really seeing where he was. The driving snow now made visibility impossible. He had somehow gotten about a half a mile off course from his journey. The young man, as he went up to one house and rang the doorbell, only to find he was at the wrong house, turned away and started toward the next house, hoping to find his friend. And finally, as he stopped in despair and he looked to try to understand even where he was, the young boy felt on his shoulder the hand of another person. He looked behind him, and it was his father. His father had followed his son every step of the way to make sure that his son would not be lost in the storm. And my dear church family, tonight I want to remind you of this very truth, that we have a Father whose hand is on our shoulder, and that He is with us in every storm of this life, and that He will never leave us, and He will never forsake us, and we can cast our care upon Him. And even when we kind of trudge out in our own stubborn will, and we're going to go where we want to go, and we want to be where we think we need to be, and sometimes even getting out of His will, He's there. He's there all the time with us. He's a reliable God. The names of our God are reliable. And the very nature of our God is reliable. I want you to think about the nature of some of His promises with me. I think about the fact that I serve a God that is infallible. He makes no mistakes. He is always truthful. Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Now, you know, we're going to hear from lots of people that this problem will be fixed, the economy will be fixed, the virus can be fixed, all these things. But I want you to know that when you listen between the lines, they're saying, "We hope this will help. Maybe 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks." I want you to understand that while men vacillate and men cannot be sure, that when God speaks, He speaks with infallibility. That the word of the Lord is a sure word, and we can put our trust in Him. His word is infallible. Not only that, His character is immutable. This tells us that He is an unchanging God. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." Now, I know of many churches and many men that would like to change the Lord. They would like to write their own script about who God is and their opinion of God or the Bible. But God is an unchanging God. And His mercies, yes, they're new every morning, but for every generation, His mercies have been the same. His truth has been the same. In fact, I love what it says in James 1:17. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." But I want you to think of that phrase, "with whom there is no variableness." God is a faithful God. He is a consistent God. He is an unchanging God. And he is the God who has met the needs of our forefathers, but he will meet our needs today as well. God, in his nature and in his attributes and in his counsels, is an unchanging God. He's infallible. He's immutable. Let me just quickly say, our God is eternal. You know, there are some promises in the Bible that aren't for this life, but they are for the next life. And one of those promises revolves around the very word itself. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. You see, this is an eternal book. And what we're studying right now is not the New York Times or the LA Times. This is God's eternal word given to us by a God who never lies, a God who never changes. It is his eternal word. Psalm 119 and verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And how we thank him for this. And so tonight, as we think about the reliability of God in our Bible study, I want you to think, first of all, that his provision is reliable. God provides for our physical and spiritual needs. Secondly, his promises are reliable. He's an unchanging God. He's a faithful God. He's an eternal God, and his promises are reliable. All right, if you're taking notes, one more point for you tonight. As you know, whether you are in the church house or at your house tonight, normally 3 points, right? So here's the third point. Here we go. His payment is reliable. His payment is reliable. Now, when I think about the reliability of Jesus Christ, I think first and foremost about salvation. And I think about the cost of his payment. I want you to think about it tonight. How much does God love you? Maybe the devil wants you to doubt that tonight. How much does God love you? Well, think about the price that he paid for you. And don't ever get over this. And I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Peter. For just a moment, hold your spot there in Psalm, but turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Come on now, this is our midweek Bible study. Let's open our Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 18, okay? And let's just read these two verses together. 1 Peter 1, 18, and I want you to read it with me, okay? And read it out loud there. What a blessing. Hundreds of families are reading the Bible in their home together tonight. Isn't that awesome? So let's do it together in the unity of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, ready, begin. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, some religions taught that you could buy your way into heaven, or you could pay off a priest and he would so-called absolve your sin. But we're not purchased with silver and gold. We can't buy our way into heaven. We have been purchased with the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And in these next few weeks, as we approach Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be preaching on Sunday mornings right here at lbclive.tv. I'll be preaching on the blood atonement of Jesus Christ, the fact that a perfect Son of God shed his blood for our sin. That's how much God loves you. So much that he gave his only begotten Son, Colossians 1 and 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of the blood. Now, when I was a boy in Sunday school about fifth grade, we sang a little song, and I'm going to ask all the boys and girls, if you know the song, sing it with me. It went something like this: What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Oh, how we thank God for it. No other fount I know than the precious blood of Jesus. And so today we think about the cost that he paid for us. It was a debt that I could not pay. It was a debt that he did not owe, and yet he paid it for me. Now you say, I'm worried I might have some debt through this downtime. Well, let's not go there yet. We don't know that for sure. But the fact is that no matter what happens in our life, the greatest debt we ever had was paid by another, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's the cost that he paid for us. It was a precious cost. It was an exclusive cost. You see, there's no other way that our sin could be paid for. It's done exclusively by the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Now there might be someone sitting at a table or listening to me tonight, and you're not sure that you have eternal life. I want to tell you this very truth, that even though we are sinners, that Jesus shed his blood for us, and that when we call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, that we can have eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. And this is speaking of eternal life. You cannot have eternal life. You cannot have the forgiveness of sin if you've never accepted his Son alone to be your Savior. And I mean turning to him exclusively. We're not talking about believing on Jesus and a church, believing on Jesus and our good works, believing on Jesus and our tradition. No, no. All of those things are as filthy rags. We're talking about coming to the place in our life when we realize, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. But the one who is perfect and without sin, he shed his blood to cover my sin. And I am going to pray and ask him, the one who shed his blood and rose up again, to forgive me and to be my Savior. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you could do that right now, sitting where you are. And in a moment, I'm going to tell you how to do that, because this reliable one that I'm preaching about has provided the only reliable way of salvation, and that's through his sacrifice. The cost of his payment is amazing, and the covering of his payment is amazing. Think about how that blood covers our sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. That's a big word, propitiation. It simply means a covering. It means that the blood of Christ covers our sin. And if you've never had your sin covered, then Jesus shed his blood to provide that payment for you. The very first person saved in our family was my granddad, Paul Bryan Chapel. My name's Paul William Chapel. My middle name's after my mother's father. But my grandfather was a farmer. He had some religious background, not much. He'd been to a few religious gatherings. But someone came to him at his farm in Colorado, and they were really just doing summer missions work. And they would wait at the end of the rows of the tractor as it was coming down the row. They would wait for the tractor. And my granddad turned off his tractor, jumped down, and began to talk to this missionary. And that missionary began to explain to him that religion wouldn't save him, that being a good person wasn't going to cover up his sin. And my grandfather understood for the first time of the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. And he prayed and accepted Christ as his Savior. Oh, I can't tell you the difference it made in his life. All he wanted to do was tell others about Jesus. His wife, my grandmother, his four children, including my father, all of them accepted Christ. Really, as the result of that soul winner telling my grandfather how to get saved and about the blood atonement, thousands have been saved. That's the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is reliable even now, not just for my grandfather, not just for those in the past. It is reliable now for us. You see, Peter, in 1 Peter 1, said this as I close, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, we have hope tonight because we have a reliable Savior. His provision for us is reliable. His wonderful promises for us are reliable. We can trust in his infallibility, in his unchangeable nature, in his eternal promises. And then his payment for us is reliable. Now, tonight, there may be some that are watching, and tonight you need to just take a moment and pray to the Lord. Lord, I want to trust you as my reliable hope. I want to trust you during this time of difficulty. You are reliable, and I'm going to trust you. And there might be some others watching me right now that need to say, Lord, I'm not just going to trust you during this difficult time. I'm going to trust you for the forgiveness of my sin and a home in heaven. So I want to just encourage you right now. Let's take a moment and let's pray together. And if you need to pray, Lord, I want to trust you during this difficult time. You are my reliable hope. Then you tell God that right now. And if you're not sure that you're a Christian, right now, you can simply say to the Lord, Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner. I am turning to you now as my reliable hope. I ask you to save me, to forgive my sin, and to give me a home in heaven. And if you ask Jesus to forgive your sin and give you a home in heaven, He will save you. He is reliable to meet that need tonight.